It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 291, entitled Touching a Different Part of the Elephant and Don't Shout at Guinea Pigs. It was recorded on Monday, the 25th of March, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I will be joined by my co-host Mark Westgard, but also by Tammy Lister, and also by Tim Nash. It's a WordPress podcast, so what do we talk about? Well, quite a lot this week, it turns out. There is a possible delay to the release of WordPress 6.5. Will it or won't it ship on the date designated? Do the Woo by Bob Dunn has found a new home at WordPress.com. We talk about Bob's endeavors over the years and just how much we like him. I did a podcast episode on the Tavern with Miriam Schwab, and this leads to an extended discussion about how our work lives work for us. What are some of the things which cause us trouble? What are some of the things which make our lives easier? We talk about CloudFest. We get into a whole bunch of different events happening. WordCamps in Brighton, WordCamps in London, and various other parts of the globe. We talk about whether or not a new WordPress Media Core should be announced. Who's it for? How might it work? And we also get into a bunch of new products and updates, as well as a whole load of deals in the WordPress space this week. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Weglot. Weglot, the easiest way to translate your WordPress website. The Weglot translation plugin gives you a reliable and easy way to make your WordPress website multilingual in minutes. No coding required and no developer time needed. Find out more at weglot.com. So apparently the mics are not muted after all that. I don't know. It was very good that you were all extremely quiet. because
I heard a cough.
There was a little cough, but it doesn't matter. It's totally fine. Hello. Hello. We're on episode number 291 of This Week in WordPress. I have a feeling this is going to be chaos because in the introduction, it all got sideways quite quickly. Not introduction. We've had a little 10-minute chat beforehand. But we'll endeavor to get through a bunch of WordPressy stuff. Hopefully you are willing to share it. If you fancy getting your friends, colleagues, relations, enemies, dogs, cats, hamsters or gerbils involved, head over to wpbuilds.com/ I actually can't remember. Yes, /live. Send people there. If you go there, then you need to be logged into a Google account in order to use the comments. Alternatively, there's a little box at the top right-hand corner of the video, top right, I don't know which way, one of those. And if you click that, you can give us a comment anonymously, so you don't need to be logged in. We're still going out on Facebook, but Facebook, in their wisdom, have decided to destroy the API, which enables that to happen. So all of these kind of platforms. In April at some point, so fairly soon, you're not going to be able to go into Facebook groups. You can still do pages and things like that. But I would suggest that you just head over to our website. You know, that's probably the quickest way to do it. And stop worrying about Facebook. Honestly, stop worrying about Facebook. Will you all stop? Anyway. Right, let's get on. Let's introduce, first of all, down in the corner there. He's on quite a lot, so he's become a co-host. He is Mark, Guardian of the West, Westgard. How are you
that's
doing,
it.
Mark?
That's me. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good.
I'm really over the jet lag at last.
I was saying before you joined us, I have been left with a terrible legacy. And Tammy's shaking her head. I've been left with a terrible legacy of my trip to WordCamp Asia. My body will not go back to European, like British time zones. I am a mess at like 9 in the evening. I am unable to carry on. You're nodding like this has happened to you.
I feel better. I was just exhausted after WordCamp Asia. I was actually thinking about going to CloudFest and kind of glad that I didn't, sad that I didn't. I'm still waking up at 2 a.m. and it's dark.
Yeah, it's really had a profound effect on me. But nevertheless, let's just carry.
Let's just carry. Sorry, it's going to be bad this week, isn't it? We're really not going to get on with anything. Mark is the founder of WS Form, fabulous form plugin for WordPress. Oh, it actually says on the bio, a powerful WordPress form plugin.
But I'm just terrible at marketing.
I'm just injecting the word fabulous as well. No, that's good. Pithy, to the point. I love it. Okay. We're also joined by Tammy. Tammy Lister, there she is. How are you doing, Tammy?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Tammy is, everybody's got such a short bio today. This is fabulous. Tammy is a product creator who is passionate about open source. That's all we got. But thank you. I appreciate you joining us today. And also by Mr. Tim Nash. There he is. Oh, nice. You even got the glance right. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, really good. And Tim, I should add, is a professional Doom speaker.
What it says.
Obsessed professional Doom speaker and WordPress security consultant. I don't even know what Doom speaking is, but it sounds bad.
You've had me on this show enough times.
That's okay. Okay. I got it. If you fancy making a comment like Peter Ingersoll does every single week, I've got to say thank you, Peter, for giving us, you know, for joining us every week. I know it's probably early where you are, but he drops into the comments and he always tells us about the weather. In Connecticut, and it's partly sunny. It's chilly. That is chilly. 2 degrees centigrade, 36 degrees Fahrenheit in Connecticut. If you've got any weather comments you want to drop in, feel free to do that. We're not sure about the whole clock thing. I had a comment there from Courtney who said, happy Monday, Nathan. When does the UK change clocks? Sunday. And the answer to that is, I don't know.
Sunday.
Sunday.
Spring forward.
Okay. So there you go. We now know it's going to be Sunday. And clocks move ahead 1 hour in the UK. Oh, thanks. Peter knows more about this than I do. Oh, so next week, we're having a week off anyway, so it probably won't affect too much.
Yeah, we get Easter bunnies that spring us forward. That's not the case. But
I will be taking a week off. And final comment for now is Atif Riaz, who says, good afternoon. Like I said, if you've
got an extra hour in bed this morning.
You did.
Only 4 hours difference between us right now, between Eastern and time. So
I'm just going to point out something obvious. That is not the number 24, but it's it's 12 degrees and rubbish in London. That's correct. In London. Okay. Right. So we're going to talk about WordPress. We actually have way more things to talk about than we've got time for. So some of them will get in, some of them we won't. Firstly, a little bit of self-promotion. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. Fancy keeping in touch with what we do, put your email address in there, and I will spam you so badly. No, I won't. I'll send you two emails a week, one to say when this is published, which is usually tomorrow on a Tuesday, or on Thursday. So sign up for that. Otherwise, there's nothing else to say. We've got, you know, podcast episodes which come out each and every week, so you can put those out in our little archive section here. But let's go. Oh, yeah. Mark, I thought you were raising your hand.
No, I was just adjusting my microphone.
I thought, okay, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not at school.
Yeah. When we first did this show, back on episode like number one, none of us had a clue how to do anything like this, including me. And so we all did. We literally raised our hands and it was. Tammy, anything to add?
Yeah. I just wanted to raise my hand because I felt left out.
Okay, let's get on to this. So this is really just to say that if you follow the WordPress project, you'll probably know that it gets released. And then there's a little build up in excitement prior to the big release. And that is coming fairly soon. It's called WordPress 6.5. But prior to that, we get these things called release candidates, which are kind of mostly finished, hopefully, versions of the software. And the idea is that if you would like to help, you could download that and see if anything doesn't work for you. And if it doesn't, then you report it back. So we're on release candidate 3, which is typically the last one, which means that if everything is A-OK, we should be able to move over and get WordPress 6.5 released pretty quickly. Now, I got a little bit of an intuition that this 6.5 may be punted. And the reason for that was because Courtney, thank you, Courtney, who's in the comments, she mentioned something to me that was going on in the Make Slack, the 6.5 release leads. And there seems to be some kind of problem-ish. I don't really know because I didn't get a chance to read it incredibly thoroughly. But we have an issue with the way that the new font library is storing the font files. And this is the post here. I will link to it in the show notes tomorrow morning. But it may be that the 6.5 release gets pushed. But Tammy was keen to point out that just because they say it might get punted doesn't mean...
It's also, you might have another release candidate. There isn't always just three. Sometimes there's four. Sometimes there's two. Okay. So I think what will be done is an I've been involved in releases. So what will be done is an assessment of, is this critical? Is this something that's going to like break everything? Or is this something that could be fixed after release? And that will be the big decision. Or is this something that means that that feature needs taking out, which is actually the worst case, right? Because if you need to take the feature out, then you need to backport everything to like unpick all your knitting. That's basically the best way that I can talk about it. So it's whether you go, and it's Courtney has just shared, it's currently been discussed in the core channel. So that's kind of the discussion, is like, what is the best and what is the worst case to go through that.
So for the first time in this show's history, I can actually say this is like ongoing
news.
This is actually happening as we speak. But it's happening now in the core channel. If you want to go there, there was a piece that Courtney, I don't know if you can send us the URL or something. I don't. But published in the core channel 30 minutes ago. So who knows? Maybe 6.5 will come out. But there does seem to be an issue and conflicting opinions about the way that it's stored, where it's stored, and whether or not that's kind of outside of the normal confines of where those files get stored. And Courtney says, thanks to Tammy for the great explanation. Yeah, too right. Thanks to Tammy for that. That's brilliant. Does anybody want to add anything to that? Because that was sort of hot off the press a bit, wasn't it? Tim?
I just wanted to say, please, please, please go test.
Yep.
Because this is how things like this, well, not this particular issue. This particular issue is due to locations of where font should be. But generally, if things are about to be punted, it's normally because someone comes along and says, we've just found X.
Yep.
And the only way we find X is if people find X. So go test it. Go
test
it. Your plugins, themes, your sites, your updates, all that jazz.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good point. So we'll see whether it comes. I feel like it would be a great shame. Well, not a great shame. Obviously, the security of the platform and everybody's happiness, I suppose, is in some way tied up with it. But the font library was one of the real hot items that everybody has been talking about, along with a bunch of APIs and things. But if that got punted to the next version, that would be a shame, because there's been a lot of press coverage about that. And it does look like a really nice feature. We will see.
I think I'll also add that the font library will get in. It's just when it's ready to get in and safely get in, because it's been due to be in for a while. So I personally would rather it got in safely and gently when it gets in. So if it doesn't get in this release, it'll get in the next release. So I think you have to see releases not as like closed boxes, which means if you don't make it, you won't get in the next one.
It's kind of interesting, because from the outside, I've never been involved in a core release or anything like that. And it really does feel a bit like a closed box. Feel like there's this moment in time where everything needs to ship. And if it doesn't do exactly what it said
3
weeks ago, then it's a failure. And it's not really, is it?
At all. It's just, it's going to get better for the next one. And I think, so when we use the terms punted or for next release, it's just, it's not baked ready. It's not fully brewed. We just need to put it back for a little bit, pay a bit more attention, do a little bit more work on it. And then we're going to get there with what Tim said. We're going to get there with testing as well. And that's the best way to see it, is we have a release date and what is ready. That's the best way to see it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, go and test, as the original piece was saying. 6.5, go test, maybe with particular emphasis on the font library. But in the show notes tomorrow will come this piece. It's by Peter Wilson. It's called Font Library Update, Storage of Font Files. And you can see there's a whole ton of comments, much more than is typically the case. There's absolutely loads of people coming in with sort of fairly technical language describing what the problem is from their point of view. So again, it'll be in the show notes tomorrow. Oh, occasionally we get some fabulous news, and this is one of those days. My good friend, Robert Don, always known as Bob. I don't even know if he's Robert. Is he Robert? Bob Don, who does Do the Woo and has been in the podcast space for absolutely ages. He has some fabulous news. He's really put a lot of effort in the more recent past into making his podcast offering not just this one thing. He's now got, many, many, many podcasts. And he's got many, many, many different voices in those podcasts helping him out. And he's found a new home for his hosting, and it's over at WordPress.com. I think it's fair to say that Bob is utterly delighted with this because it allows him to have his platform, but without the technical headache of keeping up the website. And I think he's got a full enough plate. You know, he's spinning a lot of plates just with the content that he's creating and his editing and his managing and all of that. And I've got to say, you know, I'm totally jealous, frankly. you know, you look at things like this press release where I'm just going to play a little bit of it. What the heck?
It's the like video is just
WordCommerce.com. Just look at this. It's like full on professional stuff. Anyway, that's happened. He's now got this new home for his website. The content itself is exactly as you'd expect. You know, nothing on that side of things has changed, but he's got a new home and he's chuffed to bits. I think it's fair to say that whenever I'm at an event where Bob is at an event, we are basically stapled together. We don't separate at all. It's, you know, it's kind of alarming, actually. So I am really, really happy for you, Bob. I don't know if you're going to be in the comments or not, but bravo. Does anybody want to say nice things about Bob?
I want to say congratulations to Bob. 100%. He's I remember him filming this in Madrid when we went to State of the Word, and he was very excited about it. He kept it under wraps for a long time. He's been desperate to tell everyone about it, and congratulations. And I know that he's been given a huge amount of support from the WordPress people. He's, you know, they put together a lot of work behind the scenes to kind of migrate the site across to WordPress.com. So he's been very excited about it. I remember when we were in WordCampasia, he suddenly got a message on his phone saying, like, we're ready to start moving stuff. When he had this huge list of work. And he said, why are they doing this to me on the first day of WordCamp? Bob and I went next to each other in the sponsor hall WordCampasia. And I remember he told me before we left, he said, I've made stickers for every one of my shows. And I was like, oh, how many stickers is that? And his booth was just covered in all these different stickers from all the different shows that he did. How he keeps up with it, I've no idea, but he does a great job. He's one of those guys where you can spend, like you say, Nathan, you can spend a day with him. And behind the scenes, there are podcasts being produced from lots of other people that he works with. And because he's moved very much from doing his own podcast to having co-hosts doing it now, right? So he's quite clever how he's done it.
Yeah, he's like a podcast czar.
Media mogul.
Media mogul. Yeah.
He wants to go. Right.
Yeah. And I think Courtney's drawn out the most important thing from this, which is that me and Bob need to have a hat silhouette competition. Yeah. I think we know who's going to win. Cause Bob's got hair.
And lots of hats.
And
buys a new hat every time he goes somewhere.
But it's really nice. Genuinely, I know we're sort of making light of it, but I think genuinely I'm really chuffed to bits for him. It is hard work. And I bet there's been times where Bob has thought about throwing in the towel, you know, where it's just been harder than it might have been. And he's kept going and he's been doing this longer than anybody that I know in the space. Real heritage and history there. It is alarming when you walk around a WordCamp with Bob. This is no word of a lie, right? I swear this is true. So we're stapled together, right? You walk 2 meters. Hi, Bob. And then Bob talks to somebody, and then finally, you know, you walk another hi, Bob. And then you walk another 2 meters, hi, everybody knows Bob. And a testament to a fine chap, you know, really nice individual. And there you go.
And his care and consideration for those people that are on the podcast is next to nothing. That really is worth saying, like, yeah. So it is amazing, and I'm so pleased. I got to see at CloudFest kind of it launching as well, and then just seeing someone that's worked so hard get that, it's just chef's kiss. It's so good, right? Like it's so deserved. We get moments like this in our community that we just need to bottle. And it's really, really important. And as you've just noted, it's important to our community, someone like that, that keeps people going, that keeps people represented with voices, the sheer, like, breadth of podcasts that he has and the different voices that are on that is really, and are getting more and more different voices is really incredible as well.
I don't know if anybody else, I know maybe Mark's had his bit, Tammy, do you have anything to say about that, Tim, or do you want to move on? No. Okay, that's fine. In which case, on a similar vein, so obviously Bob for many, many years has been creating content around the WordPress space. You could, as we described sort of playfully, describe him as a media, sort of WordPress media mogul. And in line with that, kind of interestingly, Josepha Hayden Chomposi, who is the executive director of the WordPress project, she came up with this post earlier in the week. So it was March the 20th. And it's entitled Making a WordPress Media Core. Honestly, I can't tell you how this is going to land. I just know that this is just an idea at the moment. And I think really the whole direction of this is as yet unknown. But she goes to paint the picture that if WordPress was a corporate company, there would be a wing of the business which was funded to do marketing and to get the message out and to, you know, just make sure that all of that stuff is happening. WordPress, given the nature of the project and the, you know, I know that there's supporters who are paid, who have their contributions paid for in terms of time and what have you. But a lot of the work, the vast majority, I would imagine, goes on a voluntary basis. And so there really isn't that capability to have that wing of the business, if you like. And so Josepha thinks that maybe there's been failures in the past. Now, that isn't to point a finger at anybody who's endeavored in this in the past, you know, who's been involved in the marketing team. But the idea is, what if there was a way that we could have this, as it's called, media core, and that media core would include, dare I say it, I guess maybe people like me who make it their business to sort of talk about WordPress and put stuff out in the WordPress space. So again, Bob would fit perfectly into this category. I can think of other things like the repository, which is a newsletter, and countless YouTube channels and what have you, that they would in some way have a media channel where they could go and information would be disseminated to them. Because what I typically have to do is open up an RSS reader and go to like 8 gazillion different websites a week to decide what is actually worthy. And it would be nice if there was like a fire hose, for want of a better word, of air quotes, official stuff. So that's the idea. The intention would be that the people who participated create content which is 80% WordPress, have high quality journalism and writing. Okay, I'm out. That's fine. Follow WordPress community guidelines and honor embargoes. And then this one at the end, etc. I don't know what that bit means, but there you go. And these people would then in some way qualify to be in this little room of people. Anyway, I'm fascinated by this just because of where I'm at and what I do. But I don't know if it's confusing. I think, Tim, you were saying earlier, you're not quite sure what this all adds up to.
Yeah, I mean, I get it when you, as you describe it as a fire hose, that sounds fantastic. But immediately it's a restricted fire hose. It's like, no, you must have, to access this magical fire hose, you must be doing high quality journalism. So, no, Nathan, for example.
Yeah,
you have to follow, following the WordPress guidelines feels like the one thing that's like on that list seems quite reasonable. But all of a sudden we're restricting it. Surely if we want to broaden marketing, we want to broaden it to people beyond the WordPress space?
That is a very good point. And I think part of this...
Isn't this just inwards?
So my thoughts are... Okay, I'm going to get on my high horse, right? My thoughts are that what would be a good place to start would be to get people who are creating WordPress content and just get them into a system. So let's call it a fire hose, whatever it is. Just something which in a few weeks, they all know what's going on, regardless of the quality of that fire hose. It's just, okay, we're all in a room. We all know each other's names. We all know when people are producing stuff. Get that working. I'm doing so many hand gestures. It's crazy. And then after that, then start to figure out, okay, how do we bring in the publications who are outside the WordPress space, but who have a much bigger audience than the likes of me? So, you know, things like TechCrunch, or those other people who, if they wrote about WordPress, would immediately get in front of a million eyeballs, which would be amazing. Because it's those organizations, I think, that would really be impactful. But we haven't figured out, I don't think yet, what that would be. Does that help, Tim? Did that
sort of, but I mean, from my perspective, when I see WordPress news, that you get high quality places like the Tavern, yourself, joking aside, but all these sort of news sources. But then if we go and look through your articles this week, half of them are from the SEO journal.
Yeah, there's
similar. And they are normally trash written articles by people who, not because the person writing them isn't trying their hardest, but they're outside. They're getting that information like Chinese whispered. And it's the same with security. The number of times I've asked a comment on by a security publication for a WordPress article that's telling me that WordPress isn't secure. And it's like, no, because plugin XYZ, which is like so far down here. But so it would be great if those publications could have access to this. It just feels like it's not going to go anywhere. And the other thing I was slightly concerned about is, where does this fit within the already existing marketing team?
Right.
Who are lovely people. And there obviously is been historically some hostility and problems. And marketing seems to be a curse in WordPress. Anybody who says the word marketing in their team name seems to be damning themselves to some sort of weirdness that nobody seems to be successful with. Just don't understand why.
I think you're right. I completely agree, by the way, about your inference there that a lot of the journalism in the big organizations is not that great. And maybe that is part of the picture to address, is to build up some relationship between people in that team and those external news organizations so that, you know, there's that conduit of, okay, all right, you're about to publish this, but actually could you, you know, could it be modified in such a way? Because that doesn't sound like what we're trying to say. I don't know. I'm just fascinated because it's completely adjacent with what I do. That's why I'm fascinated.
I like the idea that it recognizes what you do and others do, which is if we maybe change the word and called it PR, I think it recognizes what a lot of people are trying to do and it helps with access to that information. I do think there is something to be said for sorting our own out before we go outwards, and making sure. So there have been many instances where people have tried to, you know, blog about WordPress because, you know, blogging about the thing that you're writing is kind of natural and news. And they haven't been able to make a success of it. So I think that that's really something like this will help them make a success of it, will help them make success of their news. Also, there's an opportunity for mentoring. So we've just kind of been singing the praises of Bob. We've been, you know, there are many people who've been successful in this. If someone wants to come and learn and be successful, coming and learning from this particular group would also be an opportunity. Just thinking from the future as well. There is that to think of. Whether it's a different group, I don't know, but I'm just thinking of that. Like, where are the next publications to come from? Where is the next kind of news sources as well? I think that's something to also think about. We've got the established ones, but also we're all like getting old and not able to deal with jet lag, right? So where's the next publications coming from and how do we get those on board?
That's interesting. Okay, so there's an article which I kind of buried in the I said we probably wouldn't end up talking about, but I'll just quickly, if I can quickly find it, I'll pop it on the screen. And this is an article called Top WordPress Statistics You Should Know in 2024, right? But I just want to just raise a few of the things, right? So it just raises, okay, we know this one. We've heard about this one loads of times. WordPress powers 43% of the web, whatever that means. More than 500 new websites are being created on WordPress every day. 74.6 million websites use WordPress worldwide. Every month, 2.9 million people search for the term WordPress on Google. WordPress powers 65% of CMS websites. I could go on, right? And let's just assume that everything I've just said is in fact true, that data is true. I have no idea. But the point is, WordPress is massive, totally massive. And the fact that it's not habitually on organizations like, well, dare I say it, the BBC or TechCrunch is bizarre because its imprint is totally enormous. And if it went away, so would a chunk of the internet. maybe this is where they're trying to get to, just bridge that gap between what we know is the importance of WordPress and the paucity of mainstream coverage. I don't know. I'm going to raise a comment by Courtney. She said, Noel Tock has been calling out a significant need for market research and shortening the turnaround time from that research to core releases. She then goes on to say he spoke at WordCamp Asia and has been sharing his bits on X recently. So that was Noel Tok, N-O-E-L-T-O-C-K, for those people who are listening to this. So maybe you could search for him on X. And hard numbers, says Peter Ingersoll, and real research are vital for making good decisions. We don't have that yet. Mark, did you want to add anything to this?
Yeah, I just, I don't know where to go with this really, because I mean, the first line of this article is all around stagnated growth and that they want to tackle that problem. I wonder whether this has anything, and maybe I'm talking completely out of line here. Are they feeling the effects of the Wix and the other big players out there who have these ridiculously huge marketing budgets? And is that, you know, affecting them? And is this a plan to streamline their marketing and, you know, give themselves a bigger voice, which I'm all about. But I, you know, I am noticing nowadays whenever I search for something WordPress, up comes a Wix ad. Is impacting their ability to reach new customers.
Don't some of those companies like Wix and Squarespace and all that, don't they have like really gigantic budget? Like I'm thinking like Super Bowl ads kind of.
Unbelievably huge.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know whether that's influenced this at all. So I know she's talking about stagnated growth, but.
Can I ask a very odd question to the panel? In fact, why does that matter? Honestly, why does market growth matter?
Oh, growth.
Just growth in general. Why does that actually matter?
Yeah, do you know what? I've often given that thought. So to me, does it matter to me if we go to 44, 45, 50, 55, 60? Does that matter? And the honest answer in my head is I don't think that matters. But what does matter to me, I think, is the opposite. If it went to 40, 35, 30, so it going in the opposite direction, because then... For all sorts of reasons, well, we know Mark's got a plugin, like the audience for that plugin becomes smaller. The audience for this podcast becomes
still 200, what was it?
Still oh, 100
million.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters to us so much, but I wonder how it impacts, you know, the commercial side of WordPress.com and where they're going with that.
I also think it depends on where you are and what you're doing. So if you're pitching from an agency perspective, a number is great on the slide deck for a pitch, right? But also if you're trying to build a product, you want to know that that number is dependable. So a million spam sites that aren't going to install your plugin, not so useful. 100 sites that are guaranteed to going to use your plugin and pay you, very useful, right? That's like a different end of the scale. But so the data has, it needs to be appropriate for what you're kind of creating. And I think that that is the thing. Like you, honestly, like you get to a point where some of these numbers are just like big numbers that don't have any reality in anything, right? Mm-hmm. Because the bottom line is I'm not actually earning from my plugin or I'm not actually earning about it. It really is, to me, it's about, Are there people coming in this end and are there people going too much this end? Is there balance in the ecosystem? Is there growth in products? Are there new products happening or are we just like pivoting and just or becoming just one product? And that also has its problems, right? Are new products being created in the space? Those are more kind of important measures of a healthy ecosystem than there's a billion spam websites, right? Counting by sites is not necessarily the great metric that we would go by.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think, yeah, boy, there's so much in this. But I totally share your thing, Tim, there about, you know, does that number, which is the number, which is always banded around, does that matter? My intuition says that it's on some level it does. But I can't get my hands on it. I don't quite know why it matters.
It must matter because it gets banded around all the time.
It does. If you're pitching, when I've pitched in agencies and I've pitched for some big projects, it does. So if you're trying to pitch to an enterprise level, they want to know what percentage is some of these. They're like, that's the reality. Okay. It's more of a checkbox I will kind of convey that, but it's more, is it trusted? Is it dependable? How much is the percentage of trust and dependability? That's what you're talking about.
When you're pitching at an agency, you're normally going, yes, here is our, we're a WordPress agency. We're supported by all these people on the web. We've got this percentage of the audience. And the next people coming along is, we're going to build you a custom CMS. It's going to cost you 28 times more. And it's going to be yours, and you'll be. And
it, well, it depends if you're pitching for an open project or a closed project, which I think is the difference, right? But if you're pitching for from an open web perspective, then yes, the number will matter and will be part of your conversation because it will be against other open web solutions where the numbers would be different. So you'd be like, oh, this number, because this number then supports, and then this is the contributors, and then this is. So that would be part of your conversation. So again, it's whether you're pitching open or closed in an agency, which is a completely different conversation.
I think it's an interesting pitch by Josefa because I've spent the last, I don't know, whatever it is, 7 or 8 years trying to build this thing, this WP Builds thing. And I've learned a lot of lessons on that road, you know, what not to do, what to do. And, you know, I'm not suggesting it's entirely successful, but you get the point. And so maybe it's just that sort of being able to just use that experience and tap into those things as a quick and effective way of getting a bit of a quick win. I'm sure it wouldn't be the end of that journey, but I'm curious. We'll certainly see how that happens. Courtney has raised something. She said she thinks too about the need for a younger skewing contingent in the WordPress community and the relaunch post-COVID of the community. Hang on. Courtney, do you mean that the WordPress community is skewing younger or that it's not skewing younger? Because I feel it's not skewing younger. I feel it's...
Without being rude to any of us, we are at the... No, well, this is going.
We're getting a bit cobwebby.
Well, you know, you have been around the WordPress ecosystem for a relatively long time, and especially if you take that in terms of the web and in terms of WordPress.
Yeah.
You know, if we were starting to say, who's been around for more, been doing stuff with WordPress for more than 5 years, and we kept our hands up, we could go way beyond 5, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a whole generation, and there's a whole generation who are coming through universities and things who are being told that, you know, PHP and all this stuff, and that this is an old stuffy stuff that you don't need to do, and you need to do. Mm. You need to get interested in this, and oh no, don't do WordPress. That's like old and it's broken. And so it would help if there was like some young, fresh faces that weren't saying that WordPress is a great thing to be platform to be using.
Yeah,
so we are sort of part of the problem.
We're going. I think maybe on this episode we should all get our Zimmer frames out, let's be honest. And we're definitely tending to skew towards the older demographic, aren't we? And I think Courtney has just clarified that. That's what she meant. She said not younger yet. So that's a point of concern. So, okay, shelve the media bit. Maybe we need to concentrate more on getting the...
And also focusing on what does media mean to those of us who aren't cobwebs.
Yes.
And... like what you're consuming, you mentioned RSS. I would pretty much bet that
I got to step away from that.
Many lower generations than you, then their answer would not be, I use RSS for my media consumption.
I have heard of this thing called the TikToks, which all the kids are using.
Yes, the newfangled TikTokies and all those kind of things are probably what they're using. And we don't use it, right? We don't use that. It's like, So pretty much for me, TikTok is for like farming and cute animals. I never encounter WordPress on TikTok. Like it's not there. It's not in that space. And it should have fallen into my algorithm by now, right? Because that algorithm is smart as a button, right? But that button is just giving me sheep and cute bunnies. But it's not giving me
WordPress because you want sheep and cute bunnies. Maybe that is your time and space away from the WordPress. Maybe there's somebody sitting on WordPress. We're going, why is my WordPress stuff not working? And all I can see is a digital rapids.
Okay, but honestly, on a serious point, and I genuinely didn't even think about that, Tammy, is my conception of media is woefully skewed towards...
It's cobwebs.
Yeah, basically.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Like for my, if you think about most one generation away from us, they don't have subscriptions to anything. Like all the old news, they're not watching TV. They're not, like, if you look at all the data, their consumption is very different, and we're not where that is. So part of this all should be understanding outside our like geriatric bubbles of media consumption.
To it's be kind of a catch 22 though as well, right? Because
yeah, we've got to be hip to the kids to get the kids in.
When we want to get something out, we go to where everyone is.
And part of it is just listening, right? There's this thing that we can do called listening, and there's this thing that we can do called market research, which is like understanding. And we tend to be quite good at like contribution. So opening up to contributions from young generations would be good, but across different cultures, not just like the US generations, understanding what different cultures is really important.
I think that you're so right about that whole media chasm. Honestly, I was being sort of slightly mocking when I said about the TikToks. But
the TikTokies.
I've never used that, but I'm constantly surprised at the attention that my children pay to
platforms
like that. And it is somewhere where I don't, you're right, I imagine there's not a lot of WordPress engagement.
And I have joked because I have tried to search for it.
Okay.
It's not there. And the algorithm hasn't even picked up on like anything. It's not really there. It's lightly there, if anything, but it's not super capitalized. It's not really being used. But there is a lot of space. There's live space. There's a lot of space there to use it. It's just using it smartly because people will see through it in those spaces. And that being able to see through the use of media is also something that our generation, generations down, have been taught more than other generations.
Michelle Frechette joins us to say that more and more WP businesses are getting on the TikTok.
The TikTokies.
As I'm going to call it,
the TikTokies.
Okay, so there we go. We got a few other comments as well. Colin Devereaux, thanks for joining us. He said he's joining the discussion late. An old adage is, so this, I presume, is about the 43% number and, you know, all of that. The old adage is, if you aren't growing, you're dying for any business technology, etc. So if the number shrinks, it could be indicative of a larger issue. Okay. Gosh, that's an interesting conversation. Anyway, the article for that is called, just raise it on the screen one more time. It was the 20th of March. I'll put the link in the show notes. Making a WordPress media core. There is a lot more to it. And there's quite a few comments. And there is a Slack channel where you can join and be involved in that discussion. Okay, let's move on. Okay, it's going to get a bit personal now. We don't often stray into personal things, but I did an episode of the Tavern podcast with Miriam Schwab. I don't know if you know Miriam, but Miriam has been in the WordPress community for a really long time. She founded an agency, was very successful with that, moved that agency on, went on to found a company, I believe co-found is the right word there, called Stratic, which was fairly revolutionary in its approach to hosting. She then sold that to Elementor. And we had a chat about just her life and about the fact that she's got, honestly, wait for it, 7 children, and how you manage to be, you know, a functioning adult, just that, but then on top of being a functioning adult with 7 children, how you manage to be successful. And it was genuinely interesting chatting to her. And I did just want to really just ask the panel, if they had any, you know, of their own personal stuff to share. And B, whether or not they, you know, managed to listen to this episode and got any insights out of it. She seems like she's heavily reliant these days upon, you know, clever tools. So she's got a bunch of SaaS apps, which she uses. And she put me onto one, actually, which is called Notion Calendar. And I'm like a week in and I'm totally addicted. I've literally moved my life over to Notion Calendar because of some of the things that it can do on the Mac, which is kind of nice. But there's a bunch of other tools as well. But also just, she was very honest and open and shared the fact that, you know, she doesn't always feel that she was successful in everything that she did. Maybe the family took a bit of a hit because of the need to do things for the business and so on and so forth. So I don't know. What I'm going to say is, panel, tell me about your father. lie down on the couch. And we're going to go with Mark first because he coughed.
Oh, hang on. I put my hand up.
Okay.
I really enjoyed listening to this.
Oh, you did?
Thank you. Yeah. I don't usually listen to stuff that you make, Mason.
Yeah, no, quite right. Yeah, that's the right approach.
No, it was
really great to listen to. I don't know Miriam very well. I see her at all the WordCamps. We always say hello. She's always a delight to speak to and say hello to. I had no idea she had seven children. I have two, and that's enough. And as with any kind of, because she, you know, she used to run her own business, and that takes an awful lot of time out of your day. It takes an awful lot of time out of your personal life. And I know how difficult that is and how much sacrifice she makes. So with seven children, I can't imagine how she does it. She's very, very humble with everything that she does. And yeah, it was fascinating to listen to. I really enjoyed it.
Can I ask you a question, right? And feel free to not answer it, right? But what is the hit on your life of your company, right? Maybe all we do is the metric of hours. What would you say is the typical number of hours, like week, month? And again, just bat that one away if you don't want to answer it, but I am curious.
No, it's a lot. It has been ever since I was 19 years old. I've always run my own business. And I think what works in my marriage is that my wife was brought up in a business environment with her family. So she kind of understands. For some people, it can be really difficult having a partner that's working so much. She's kind of used to that. And we've got a good bit of teamwork going, which I think really helps. So she can help out a lot with the kids. For me, it's not unusual that I'm doing 16 hours a day because I'm working one day, having some dinner, and then going back to work again. But that's just what it has taken me to get my particular plug-in and my previous businesses off the ground.
Right.
You get the reward of having your own schedule and being able to take time off when you want to and everything else and being your own boss. But it's a lot of time, you know. It's the same with most entrepreneurs that I speak to. They're all basically workaholics. And it's sad because you kind of have to be to, you know, every hour you don't spend on the business, you're an hour back from getting the business to where it needs to be. But we do take time out together. Like last night, we all went out to dinner and took some time together and put the phones down and spoke to each other, which is important.
Yeah.
Did you just say you put your phones?
We actually put our phones away. Yeah.
Fuck it. I think even that should be a requirement of all restaurants.
Other people.
Without the rectangle.
We actually spoke to each other. Yeah, it's quite.
You weren't using the TikToks?
No, there was no TikToks going around.
Honestly, though, Tim, sorry.
I was just going to say, I feel really bad because, you know, my daughter, when she requires, you know, she send me messages for things like, I'm on the toilet. This is very different sort of mentality to your world.
I think one of the things that comes out of that, and I don't know if you're guilty of this, Mark, I certainly am, because I work from home. I have this endless capacity to say that the next thing is important enough to keep me here where I'm sitting right now. Whereas I do think there's something beautiful about working in an office or something where you can sort of say, okay, it's 5:30, I'm off and I'll be back at 9. But I've never really had that environment. And there are bits of me when, in all honesty, when I get to the end of the day, I kind of like have to shamefully hold my head and do some groveling and apologizing because really I didn't need to be there for that bit. I just kind of made it important in my own head. I think you've got to just be mindful of that, haven't you? And keep an eye on how often you're doing that.
I have to take time out with the family. And, you know, that's usually dinner together after school and doing some homework and stuff. But once that finishes, I'm back at it. So, you know, if you send a support ticket, you'll get a response from me at midnight. But I enjoy it. It's my work is my hobby. So I'm not one of those to want to get out the door at 5 o'clock. I'm very lucky that, I enjoy what I do.
Yeah.
I'm also a night owl. I love working at night. And getting stuff done while the family's asleep.
I was that person as well until, you know, WordCamp Asia has just seen that off. That was beautiful, though. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. I don't know if Tim or Tammy want to contribute something to that.
I don't have children, but I can give a different perspective that I don't think it's just whether you have children or not. I think it depends on whether you or your partner also have medical or needs or caring. So for me, My partner's had long-term medical needs, so I don't always have the luxury of being able to maybe ignore until 5 o'clock. Those situations, I might get up and it might be a bad day, and then I have to be dealing with that as well as I'm dealing with work. So it is a little bit less separating when you're dealing with things like that. So I think we have sometimes the person that presents themselves on the podcast, or the person that presents themselves at the WordCamp, or the person that presents themselves is not the person that's having the experience. That's the best way I can describe it. They may be traveling because they're trying to do their best for the person that's at home who can't work, or they may be in vastly different situations. So I think it's just trying to be as patient and as calm, and don't assume just because someone hasn't got kids that they've got endless amounts of time, and that they may be caring for someone who's not their partner, even if they haven't got a partner. So I think it's always fascinating for me to kind of have these conversations, that just as, you know, we can kind of always think of children, and that there are vastly, particularly as we're talking about aging, there are vastly different conversations. You know, there's a thing when you marry someone in sickness and in health is one of the things that you say, and you have to kind of bear with that when you are dealing with that. But my hat is so off to Miriam and what she deals with. I have been a longtime admirer of her, just being incredibly awesome. I think that we need more people like that to just look at in the community, because it helps everybody in the community be able to look at. But again, listen to their whole story, because it'd be very easy to see her on stage or see her successes and be like, oh yeah, they never have a problem. They never have a bad day.
Yeah.
They never are like dealing with, like, I don't know, whatever they're dealing with, right? They never have a day where they just want to like cry into a cushion. I've had days like that. Or where they just break down for no reason. And that's the thing, you know, we maybe expect traveling. We maybe expect things for the careers. Some people have to take jobs. Some people have to do things and do different stuff. So I think it's really, really important to just remember, like, the whole person, and check in on that whole person. And as we are, like, in this for a long term, remembering that, like, the partners and the children and the connected pieces, humans, to those whole people change. So I guess that's a different perspective.
This is super interesting conversation, isn't it? I'm really enjoying this. Honestly, I think we could just do this for the rest of the show. One thing that I want to contribute to what Tammy just said is, I guess the being working from home thing is a double-edged sword, isn't it? In the way that
I could not work from home.
Right.
The situation for me is I literally there have been times when I couldn't do that. I've pretty much only worked from home for a long time. One of the things I do have now, though, is a separate office, which is amazing for me, because I can actually take meetings away. That means that my husband can sleep. That sounds like a really simple thing, but when someone's like taking a loud Zoom meeting in the room next to you, it's really hard to sleep, turns out. So I have like that separation, and that separation is really good for me from a health perspective as well. Because it means like when I'm over here, my brain is in work mode. I can even like put work clothes on. It's weird, but it's a thing. And I can have a workspace, and that divide is really, really powerful and useful for you when you're doing this. And then when I'm over there, I can be like paying attention. And that's not to make him out to be a child. He's an adult. But people have different needs and different kind of conditions that they have, right? It's his story. But again, with me as well, from my own health story, I think everybody has their own health stories and their own implications that they deal with as well. So there's many layers to each person that's in front of the...
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. My dad had this thing. He used to work from home and he had a separate office, but he would often wander back into the kitchen to, you know, make a coffee or just have a chat. And he had this thing where if he was wearing a particular pair of shoes, he was in office mode. He was to be like, basically like, don't interact with me on a can we go out and kick the ball around in the garden kind of comment. It was more like, okay, there's dad, but he's not really there. He's invisible at this moment. And then he would change his shoes and he would be, you know, my dad again for a bit.
That's great.
It's just about communicating, because I don't have a kettle in here kind of on purpose as well, so that I will actually like go out.
Otherwise,
I just probably never leave
my shed. Yeah.
But it's kind of like that thing of just communicating what hours you're working, communicating when you can be interrupted, because sometimes like interruptions are needed. but I always have my phone available if I am needed for an interruption. And there have been times when I have had to end Zoom calls because of medical emergencies. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality that I live in, right? Like mm-hmm. this reality, like many, many people live in this community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tim, over to you if you've got anything you want to add.
I sort of want to follow on from Tammy, but take the next perspective, which is that I suffer from medical conditions. I suffer from a type of arthritis that most people won't even notice. It's called palindromic arthritis, and which literally means it comes and goes. And I can appear to be perfectly fine 1 minute, and then the next day I won't be able to walk and be in a lot of pain. And so I have appeared on this podcast more than once, doled off on painkillers.
Not
been able to, you know, where I've hobbled into the office to sit down and then be cheerful for an hour and a half before going back to bed. And that can and does lead to a strain on your mental health. And that need to be on stage and be in places. I've been in events where I've been in large amounts of pain, but having to pretend that I'm not, and that I'm just a cheerful, happy person, or I'm put as much energy as I can into that persona of me. And I, in the past, I would be very much like Mark. I'd like to work all the hours I can, but I can't do that. I have a finite amount of spoons. My spoons have to be given as many as I can to my daughter. And my life and my routine is based around hers. So that means that I do not get the greatest amount of time to work. So I work while she's at school and a little bit in the evenings. But I don't work till 2 a.m. because I can't. I have to go to sleep at around 9:30, 10 o'clock because my body won't let me. And you can read every productivity book in the world and have all this advice about how you're going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're going to have a quick meditation session. You're going to do some journaling, and then it's straight to the gym. And none of that. That reality doesn't meet. It's just not true. For somebody, it must happen. For the vast majority of people, it doesn't, because we're all individual. Yeah. But it's okay, because, you know, I get what I need to get done. When I can't, people are very understanding. And I can still come on shows like this and be entertaining and fun for a little bit and enjoy it. And I'm in the WordPress space partly because it's a very welcoming place where we can have issues, where if I'm sat in the corner because I'm having a moment in the middle of a WordCamp, my friends will come over and find me. It's just one of those things. I think you should be very careful about assuming anything with any person. Because we don't all wander around with a list that says, here are my following problems. Maybe that would work better. We just had this. For some people, it might be quite sure. For others, in fact,
Like Sims, when you have like a little thing above your head.
When you hit like 20 of them popping up. Everybody is complicated. So I was about to say, for some, there might be more, but that's not fair, because just because you don't have a health issue or don't have X issue doesn't mean that your life's not complicated, that things aren't happening in it.
Right.
So you don't know what's happening in somebody's life. You don't, whether it's physical, mental, or just what their life in general. So if nothing else, I think I haven't haven't listened to the podcast, but I've met her. She's an amazing lady. I can imagine what, it's weird that in many ways, I don't think I need to listen to the podcast to know what was said.
Really
listen to the podcast, and I'm going to afterwards.
Well, thank you. Really interesting conversation, that, isn't it? Because I think one of the things which is coming out of this is like the public persona thing.
Why I did the hands. Kind of like I always say when I'm on stage, I'm act like it's an act, and I don't mean that disingenuous at all. But it is 100%. Like there is a difference between like the speaking me and then the real. Like the reality of me, because the reality of me is generally trying to work out how many spoons I've got, how many things I'm juggling, how many different things, because that's reality, right? But it's work, right? And I don't think that's a bad thing. That really isn't a bad thing. But we have to remember that when we're interacting with someone in a hallway hangout, and when we're just like, just another 2 minutes, that 2 minutes might be that person, I'll be blunt, was on the way to the bathroom and they really needed to go, or that person really had just run out of spoons and they just really needed to go and find a cushion, right? Like, and that 2 minutes, just check in, is like, are you okay to have this conversation now? That's what I'm trying to change it around to, because I'm trying to like remember when I was low on spoons and someone grabbed me in the hallway. So
honestly, I think we could keep this, like, we could have done the whole hour and a half on this. And it feels like a shame to draw a line under it in many ways, because this feels like probably the most important thing that we've talked about in ages. But the episode with Miriam is really interesting, because it does demonstrate pretty clearly that there's this public side and then there's the real life side. And the real life side is messy, and the real life side is, you know, interesting, and it gets derailed and stuff goes wrong. But somehow you get through it. And, you know, I'm obviously going to be different when I'm in the, in inverted commas, real world than I am in the way that I present myself on this. I like to go and, you know, shout at small animals and things like that. That's my thing. It's really not, Tammy. That's not actually what I do. It was a joke, even though it wasn't funny. But I appreciate all of your candor and your honesty.
I have this vision of you shouting at guinea pigs when you start bad apples.
We have guinea pigs. I wouldn't dare. No, there's no shouting at the guinea pigs, but we do have guinea pigs, and I pick them up on a regular basis and give them a stroke. Anyway, here we go. A few comments about that. Late to the show, says Elliot. Oh, no worries, Elliot. Don't worry about that at all. And Birgit says, oh, sorry, wrong order. She says, I hear you, Tim. Thanks for showing up and sharing this. Sending a handful of spoons. I have a weird story to tell, right? And I'll just drop it in quickly. My daughter fancied having a go at editing audio. So I've got loads of audio lying around that needs editing. So I gave it to her to edit, and she was learning the software in which to edit it and all of that stuff. After doing two or three of the episodes, she got no impression about what WordPress is, other than that's something that I do. And she said, they're all really nice, aren't they? All these people that you talk to, like, there's this common thread. They're all nice. And she said, is it like that? Like, all the time? And I said, well, it probably isn't, but my experience is that it basically is. And so I do feel very privileged that there's...
I want to meet the person who comes on who's not really, who comes on there, right, what I need to do is show off my business acumen by being grumpy.
Yeah.
That will get me more customers, being grumpy on Nathan's show.
But do you know what I mean, though? But even when you're like at a WordCamp and things like that, it's just a relentless cavalcade of nice people. If you've been to any other more business-related conferences, I'm sure that you can make a comparison. You know, just a different approach and things like that. And so I feel very privileged. Okay, I think we should move the subject matter on, because we got events to talk about. That kind of fits nicely with what we've just been mentioning. That episode was on the Tavern. Go check it out, by the way. So very quickly, we'll just go through a few bits and pieces that are coming up in the real world, happening soon. WordPress 6.5 Brighton launch party is happening. You can find this over on Meetup. But
do you think they know it's going to be has a potential to be delayed?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're gonna order pizza tentatively. Just in case. That's right. But if you're in the Brighton area, then obviously this is something that you could attend in the real world. The date is escaping me. I can't seem to see it. There it is.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
For tomorrow, hence Tim's comment.
No, it's very, very, very. We'll see. I'll see if that gets delayed or not.
I wish I was in Brighton for that.
Oh, you see.
I do miss Brighton.
Yeah.
I miss Brighton. Be right on. Be right on.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the WordPress London meetup is happening on the 28th. So that's also this week, which is really nice. This one is at Klaviyo. That's where it's going to be held, hopefully, for the rest of this year. I've not actually been to that location. 6:30 p.m. on the 28th. So if you're in the London area, you can search for WPLDN in your search engine of choice, or WPLDN.uk. You can find it there. Next one is WordCamp Buffalo. This is a little bit further into the future, but as I haven't mentioned it, I thought I'd put it on your radar. If you're in that part of the world, in the US, it's happening on the 4th of March. Buffalo.wordcamp.org is the way to find that. Sorry, I'm just racing through all of these. And as if life wasn't fun enough, we inject into your feed the new WAPOs for WordCamp.
WAPO, now with transport.
Oh, yes. WAPOs, which have got a ride. So here we are, europe.wordcamp.org. I'm one of the media partners, so I love stuff like this because it gives me an opportunity to not only to put these on the screen, but also fulfill an obligation to WordCamp Europe, which is great. So it's in Torino, Italy this year. And what could there be more Italian than a WAPO sitting on a pizza? I mean, riding a Vespa, or also riding in a little Cinquecento. So
if yeah. You're into,
yeah, isn't that great?
I'm not I'm concerned about his ability to drive the second one.
Yeah, he's driving with his feet. His little paws.
Yeah, he's definitely a little bit on the...
little paws. Maybe his belly's driving. That's concerning.
It's definitely filling up the car there, isn't he? He's definitely filling up the car. But they're cool.
Look happy.
I'm not great. Entirely sure he's going to be able to ride that bike either. His arms don't seem to...
there's some perspective problems.
If you have no idea what we're on about, there's this thing. I believe it started in Japan, this whole mm-hmm. WAPO thing, where it's like a mascot for the event. So there's this little character who I kind of is like a cross between a, I'm going to regret saying this, a bear and a dog.
And no way is Pikachu. Just
okay.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Where did he get bear and dog from?
Because it looks like a bear and a dog. I don't know. But there's this little character which appears and he's, you know, is made up to look like the place where they're going. And in this case, by riding all these little Italian vehicles. And I'm going to stop there before I dig myself into the hole any further. Right. Courtney says, this feels like Mr. Bean driving.
Yeah, it does. I can't really. I feel like you need some transport. Noises if you're going to be a media partner for the WordCamp.
Okay.
Like beep beep.
This platform does offer the, as Mark Westgaard knows, this platform does.
Yes, I do.
Offer. I feel like I've just opened a door into
I don't have any sort of driving noises. That's for next time. We can inject audio. Anyway, that's happening as well. And the last event to be mentioned is something that I don't know all that much about. I'm not a search engine aficionado. But happening next month, 25th to the 26th of April in Brighton, again, is Brighton SEO, which I'm told is like the big thing. Like if you're in the SEO space, it's like one of the big events, which is kind of fun. So you can find that at brightonseo.com. Unfortunately, if you search for it on a search engine, you just can't find it. I'm going to let that one hang for a minute and
move on.
Yeah, that might be why we need young people in.
That's right.
Well, there was no TikToks there.
Yeah. Okay. Job. All right. Moving on. This is a post that was curated, made by Yoast of Vulcan Person, not the company. He was at CloudFest this week and was kind of interested to notice that a lot of the people that he was meeting at that event, I feel like that event has a big, it's skewed heavily towards hosting companies. I could be wrong about that. I've never been.
For hosting companies.
It's primarily for, right?
Well, it historically was the hosting company event to go to.
Okay.
If you were in the hosting industry, this is where you went to have Cloudflare take you on fancy boats and give you champagne. And generally, it was a good old jolly for hosting companies. And then some pesky WordPress people kept starting to interfere with
right.
it and take over it and bring in their demands for open sourceness and things to happen. I'm obviously trivializing and being silly.
You say that, yes, but Ubuntu were there. There was a vast amount of open source there. So
they were always historically those. But it was a much more infrastructure as part.
Yes, 100%.
But isn't it like, don't they have like a WordPress takeover day or something now? Where
there's a WordPress day. So I went. I did the back-to-back, which I think a few people in the community did, which was WordCamp Asia and then CloudFest. There's the hackathon, which is a number of different, it's WordPress, but a number of different projects as well. Some WordPress projects were in there and some people who are in the comments actually had some projects there, which is super awesome. And then you have the WordPress day, and then you have the normal conference. And there was also some something called Pitch Camp, which was WordPress pitching as well for products. So we had, and also throughout the whole of the kind of the main conference, there were WordPress talks as well. So there were a number of different things. So WordPress was sprinkled all throughout the whole event.
Gosh, and it so, almost yeah, feels it like, was, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot. And there was a Rainbow in the Cloud event, which was a really nice event as well.
Huh. Yeah. So, okay, I got this intuition that it was kind of pivoting towards WordPress, but I didn't realize it was quite as focused.
Getting more and more each year. This is my first year, so I have nothing to compare it to apart from this year. I didn't go to the hackathon, but next year I 100% will be going to the hackathon, because what I saw was amazing, incredible, and I just wanted to be part of it. My impression is that it's just getting more each year from the conversations that I was having as well.
Yeah. And I think that Mark Westgaard with his 16-hour days isn't really pulling his weight, frankly. And he wasn't able to make it. So come on, Mark. Next year we want 18 hours.
I couldn't do it. Yeah. I was so exhausted after working.
But no kidding. There's no way. Honestly, I would have been like a cardboard cutout of myself if I was there.
I don't know how Bob went as well, didn't he?
No idea how
he did it.
I've done more energy.
I don't know. I feel like I got a virus or something. WordCamp Asia.
Yeah, so I had the free gift from WordCamp Asia.
Well, apparently, more or less everybody got that except me. So
yeah, you know, it added a certain flair to my first couple of days.
Anyway, Yoast in this article is talking about the fact that there's a load of hosting companies there. A lot of the hosting companies that he spoke to, and I'm guessing Yoast probably knows all the people. You know, I imagine he's very well connected. He was saying that a lot of the companies are now in the position where they're really, really focused on WordPress, you know, to the point where maybe that's more or less all that they're doing is generally hosting WordPress websites. And so Yoast's contention in this article, which, by the way, I'll put back on the screen, is called On CloudFest Hosts and WordPress. It's on Post Status, 20th of March, 2024. He was saying, wouldn't it be interesting, an interesting experiment, if a lot of the hosting companies who have built their own onboarding system or page builder or some way of, you know, leveraging WordPress, which is unique to them and creates lock-in. What if they were able to step away from that and instead inject, I don't know, half of that time into the WordPress project, the Gutenberg project, for want of a better word. And if we all start to use that. So it's his bit of blue sky thinking in order to push WordPress forward. And we were talking about marketing and all of that earlier and, you know, 43% becoming 42 and so on. Wouldn't that be a good idea? I don't know if anybody wants to talk that one through or not. Time is kind of getting short, but if anybody wants to, we will allow you the floor. And there's Tumbleweed.
I think it depends on where they're going to contribute and what they're going to do. So I think it's curious. We definitely need onboarding in the core project because just like, hey, there's a quick install. No, there isn't. But my kind of thinking goes back and forth on that, whether it needs to be visual or just needs to be a really good extensibility so that you can just spin your own. I think from a hosting perspective and from a product perspective, you're always going to white label and do something that end. So therefore, the extensibility in core. So where the conversations that everyone has together, which is kind of maybe what's alluded to here, which I plus one is everyone agreeing on what needs to be in core is a really good point. I do feel like there's that parable of everyone describing the same thing, but like touching a different part of the elephant and describing a different thing. And there's a little bit of that, like trying to redo it in different ways, but actually like not checking whether the user wants to have the different experience. So I'm seeing lots of different onboarding that still doesn't hit the mark for users. So I really would like just more checking of users and checking like, is it doing the job to be done, not just a presumed job to be done from onboarding. Onboarding in AI. If we had a drinking game for the word AI at CloudFest, we would all be drunk. I don't drink. I would be by product drunk. But again, it's workflows and onboarding. So that would be my discussion is like, we just need to decide what we need and then decide what needs to be like in core to extend it out to white label is really part of those discussions.
I'll just raise a few quick comments. Sorry, I didn't mean to crosstalk you there. I thought you'd come to an end. Sorry. Birgit says, yeah, you really enjoyed the hackathon, I'm guessing. And Elliot says 100% onboarding would be great if there was a standardized API. My head has been derailed by the comment. Elliot. Sorry, say again.
To Elliot, there is. That's what we have the ability to do some standardized APIs. Most of the hosting companies are using a pretty standardized tools. Yes, more likely to be WP CLI tools behind the scene, but these tools already exist. And are pretty standardized to start with. And I just wanted to very, very quickly say that hosting companies have to differentiate themselves. It's a ridiculous market. And if you're providing a managed experience, that experience doesn't just include WordPress, that includes the hosting experience all the way through. So it's very easy for us to talk about onboarding, but we have to remember that onboarding is part of their managed process for their onboarding as well. So it goes all the way from start to finish. If they're not doing it all in one go, I'd argue they're not a managed WordPress host.
Tim comes to us with years and years of experience of working with WordPress hosting. So I think, although it wasn't in your bio at the beginning, I think that would be useful to drop in there. However, my entire head has been derailed by the content touching a different part of the elephant. I've never heard that before, and my head went somewhere that it's... I don't know if I'm ever going to recover. And that, frankly, is that an actual phrase? Do people say that?
So there's a parable that a lot of cultures have, which is of people trying to describe an elephant.
Okay, all right.
That's where I was going with that, but I was not going with the same reason
so
why
you
took it.
Its sides, you might think that you're touching a
rhinoceros. Yes, if you're touching a leg, you describe it differently to touching a trunk. But you're not just touching the elephant. No, okay. That's not what you're doing.
When we finish this episode, I'm going to recycle my brain and remove that.
Go and shout at some guinea pigs.
That's right. Okay, back to the WordPress
title for this week's episode.
I have. It's down. It's
shouting at guinea pigs touching an elephant.
It's written down. No, don't bring the guinea pigs into it. Oh, dear. No, I think that's plenty. The elephant comment. A few quick things. I know we're very quickly running out of time, so we've got a few bits and pieces I just want to share. There is a new tool which has come out. David Bloom. Was it David Bloom? I'm sure it was. Over on Facebook, this came to my attention there. We haven't sadly got time to dwell on it particularly. I don't know if any of you had a chance to look at it, but it's called Mobius, after the strip, I'm guessing. And it's called Mobius for WordPress, and it is, well, it's described as the heads up CSS dashboard for WordPress developers. Obviously, if you're using CSS, this might be worth taking a look at. He's producing quite a lot of content in Facebook with videos describing what it does. But here we go. We'll just give you the quick heads up. It says CSS insights often show themselves after, in italics, you hit publish when you're looking at your site in a browser through the eyes of a user. Having to jump back and forth to an admin screen to make adjustments slows you down. Mobius to the rescue. So that gives us some insight into what it does. Anyway, all the success in the world with that. I hope, David, that works out for you. Anybody want to comment on it before I move on? No. Okay. Okay. This is an old bit of news, but it came across my radar whilst we were at WordCamp Asia, so it never dropped. But I really like this developer and the tools that he creates. It's Generate Blocks, which is a suite of very minimal blocks, which enable you to do all sorts of things inside the block editor in terms of layout and style. And back in February, so a little while ago, they introduced global styles. And I thought that was worth a mention. If you haven't looked at, if you haven't got a solution for blocks outside of core blocks and you want to extend things a little bit, definitely worth a little look. It's from the guy who invented Generate Press, the popular WordPress theme. Speaking of popular, we'll go to this. Look at that. This is a form plugin called WS Form, created by a chap called Mark Westgaard. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's there and in the show. He's right there. You've been talking to him for hours. and what's the deal? You've got a bit of an offer on.
Yeah, just from WordCamp Asia. We've extended it to be 30% off. So grab it while you can. We've just extended it because everyone was so busy after WordCamp Asia. And we've had a lot of people saying, is the offer still there? So yeah, it's still going.
Do you do this a lot? Do you feel sort of pressured into doing this outside of, you know, I mean, there's always the Black Friday. I don't know if you do Black Friday, actually. Yes,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, around Black Friday. Yeah.
Do you feel a lot of pressure to do this kind of thing?
Not pressured. No, we like to do it for the three flagship events.
Oh,
Black Friday, and that's it. Yeah.
Got it. It's tied to those events. I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you can avail yourself of 30% off. Use the coupon code WC30. Do you know how long that's going to be around for?
Probably for another week. Yeah. Okay. So, 30% off any of the additions and any of the add-ons too.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Moving on. This is the deal section, you might call it. There's another deal. This is a company called Omnisend. They have an email and SMS marketing platform. It's a SaaS platform, but they integrate with a WooCommerce plugin. A plugin which builds on top of WooCommerce so that you can get all of the data about your store out of it and, you know, send people emails. They've also got 30% off at the moment, which I thought was interesting. So you can go to omnisend.com. I don't know if there's an offer code, but there's a banner at the top that you can see there. You can make use of that. A plugin which I've used, and I really actually like the developer as well. We had a webinar series with him. He's a chap called Patrick Posner. You can see him here, me and him, just like I did with Mark, actually. We had a 4 or 5 part webinar series where he explained how the plugin works. It enables you to flatten your WordPress website. So you can basically switch WordPress off, and it just serves up HTML and CSS. He's offering the entire product on AppSumo. So you can get it if you've never been to AppSumo, you pay once and then it's you've got your license for life. The link will be in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And was there one more? Oh, yeah, here we go. The events calendar. Also seems to be having a spring sale. You've got one more day for that. It runs out tomorrow, 26th of March, but they've got 25% off their calendar plugin. Anybody want to talk about deals that they know about, or shall we move on? Alrighty. Okay. Next thing. Do I want to do this? I want to do this. I want to get Tim's opinion on it. So, here we are at the fabulous Search Engine Journal, Tim. Yeah. A repository of all brilliant articles in the WordPress space. No, this is what we got. This is an alleged backdoor. Honestly, if any of this story checks out and it's true, so caveat emptor, everything I'm about to say might not be true.
No, if you scroll down like a couple more inches.
Okay.
There's like the update, just go up.
Oh, darn. Oh.
Somewhere between those two points.
Okay, somewhere in the... Hey, there it is.
There we go.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. So the news story is plugin developer did something, then plugin developer apologizes. Let's move on. No. Can you apologize your way out of this story? I don't know. So I'll paraphrase it. It would seem that a plugin, which is designed to elevate the things that the Bricks page builder can do, that the plugin developer was noticing that their plugin had been nulled and was being used by a bunch of people who hadn't paid for a license. And it would seem, if I'm getting this story right, that the plugin developer decided that maybe an interesting solution to that would be to experiment with the opportunity for those people who hadn't paid for a license to add the capacity so that they could delete their posts. Like, this is going to go well. Is that what happened, Tim?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
And you know what? It went really well.
Okay. Yeah, everybody enjoyed that, right? Everybody in the community thought that was a good idea.
Set the scene. You're a plugin developer. You've worked really hard on building your plugin. And then you've got some pesky licensing conditions that mean you have to do things in certain ways. And you have to use this GPL malarkey and all that. So it's your life's against you generally. And you've created this add-on for a popular page builder. And somebody comes along and nulls your plugin. I've been there. It's horrible. It's a really weird feeling. You feel like you've been, it's very personal, even though it shouldn't be. You get really wound up by this idea.
I'd be shouting at guinea pigs at this point. Really, there'd be so much shouting at the guinea pigs. Sorry, carry on.
So, but most people's response to this is to go, this is rubbish, or use other words, and move on, or use DMCA takedown notices, which they'll discover don't really work, and it's a lot of paperwork, but or do other stuff. This guy, bless him, for I'm going to fight back. And you can understand wouldn't you want to fight back? So his solution was, well, I will just take, I'll write some code that checks, and if you don't have a license key, I'm just going to drop your table.
Oh, it's not putting them to drop. It's dropping the table.
I'm just going to drop a table. I'm just going to make it disappear out of the database.
Gosh.
And sure enough, he pushes code. License keys not found on some people's sites. Post go button.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Few tiny, tiny problems. License key might not be in because, I don't know, it's a staging site.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Bye-bye. License key might not be in because they didn't legitimately purchase it. But it's not their fault. A developer did that. And if you'd asked them nicely, you could have put a banner at the top saying, hey, did you know that this might not be licensed? That's how most people deal with this situation.
Oh, gosh.
But ignoring, bad things happen. He came out and went, ooh, I didn't expect this to happen. I was just trying to fight piracy. Even if you accept that at face value, and this was just a terrible implementation, just think, like, you've written some code that lets you do this. Very first time someone goes to exploit that code on the sites that are legitimately licensed, because let's face it, the sort of person who's going to write this code, I'm going out on a limb, they were going to find other stuff in the code. And so there's not an unreasonable chance that this could then cascade quite easily. And you could end up in a scenario where the legitimate license holders have their tables deleted. At which point, all bets are off. But when I saw the article, it reminded me, I don't know if you remember Piptic. They were a theme company.
Oh, yeah.
And they did things like randomly DDoS their competitors and make your site slow down if you didn't do certain things for them. It's got that same mentality. This is not... I want to give the gentleman the benefit of the doubt and say he wasn't being malicious, just, and I'm going to use this word loosely, stupid. But malicious people exist, and they would easily have taken this feature and done nasty, nefarious things.
Yeah.
And this is just a really good case of going, whatever you're feeling emotionally about your code, stop. If you're emotionally invested in your product and you're about to put in a thing that literally has the I am going to write code and I'm going to call it function destroy star.
That is a function name. Before you commit that, go play with sunshine.
I like that. Oh, that's the remedy.
Hamster.
Stop. Go outside.
Anywhere. Just don't do it.
Go touch grass.
Oh, it's such a sad story, really, isn't it? And you can see the outrage. But obviously, you know, the quirky thing here is that the apology, I guess, you know, maybe the apology is profoundly sincere and it was very much meant. But I guess you've always got the fact that you wrote the code to do the thing. So it was an intentional thing at some point. You can't really back away from that.
I'm going to step back a little bit and give him, because I really do want to emphasize, until you're in that position, you do not realize how violated you feel.
Mm.
Now, I'm not trying to justify that anyway for him. I'm just saying that that's a scenario in, if you're young, rash, these are all words that are appropriate. But yeah, if you're it's an experience thing.
Or if you're old and curmudgeonly. Yeah, because it could be both ends of the scale.
Yeah, possibly. The advantage is if you're on the younger end, you might learn from the experience. If the older end, you're less likely to learn from it and you'll just be grumpy at how the world.
I just wanted to counter that it's not just an age thing. It could be anyone of any perspective.
But hopefully it is a learning experience and they will never do that again.
Mm-hmm. I would like to, at this point out that my life is complete. Somebody came onto my podcast and used the word curmudgeonly. That's honestly, I love that word, and I'm so glad it wasn't me that said it. That was ideal, curmudgeonly. That could be the the episode title all there.
Original guinea pigs.
Away from the crisis, Nathan. Away from the crisis. We did have a bunch of other things to talk about. We were going to talk about Apple, and we were going to talk about this thing called the Arc browser, and we were going to put a bunch of plugins that Mark had suggested that we look at. So honestly, Mark, can I just put them on the screen quickly?
Can I do a plus one to using the Arc browser? Because I've been using it recently and it's really nice.
Okay. Google.
Oh, Tim doesn't like me using it.
Yeah. ARC. I can't commit. I just can't commit. There's just too many little weird things.
Tim, what's wrong
with
the Arc browser?
I do not know. I haven't played with it. I would love to. Okay. I will play with it. I'll tell you what's wrong.
It's called Here, and it's now worth a ton of money. They are doing brilliant. It's brilliant, but I just can't commit. There's just too many little weird UI, UX things.
Oh, I use lots of different browsers, but I quite like it for specific tasks.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so there was loads of different things that we were going to put in. I did say at the top of the show that we were likely to, you know, not be able to get through all the different things, so apologies about that. Andrew Palmer has said it's not coming through for some reason. Sometimes the platform doesn't show the comments, but he said, don't worry, Tammy. I'm so old, I've forgotten how to learn. That's a great comment. Arc browser, so says Courtney. Arc browser is so great for my ADHD brain. That's interesting. I'd be curious to know.
It really helps focus.
What you mean by that?
It's really good at focus spaces.
Oh, honestly, the item that we show on the screen for like less than 3 seconds gets more comments. it's like got about 8 comments coming in already. The Arc browser, I love it. Fully switched, says Max. Just left Arc behind. It's amazing, but they've raised too much money, so I ran away, says Colin. It's Chromium-based, says Courtney. So much like Chrome, and those extensions work. Yes.
I've just gone down. Okay. Please stop supporting Chromium-based things.
I knew. I sensed there was something wrong from Tim.
Come to the light. Well, we have Firefox, and if you start using Firefox, then I should stop using Chrome, and then I can have nice things like my camera working properly.
It's not me. I didn't make the software. But that's it. That's all we've got time for, because it's gone well over. I do apologize to the panelists. I apologize to the guests. And most of all, I apologize to any guinea pigs who fell during the course of this episode.
Or elephants.
Yeah, or elephant.
Especially the elephants.
I'm just making a public apology, just so it's on the record. I don't shout at guinea pigs. Not
ever. Or touch elephants.
You know, that's now going to be in the transcript. We'll be in the SEO juice for this episode forevermore. And the comments about the Arc browser keep coming. And just a question mark from Andrew Palmer, probably because of what we've just been saying. Right, it's that time. Every week we ask the... Look at Mark, he's so fast. That's it. We've done it. We absolutely managed to do it. We'll be back. Actually, we won't. We won't be back next week because it is Easter and I am having a week off. So we won't be back next week, but we'll be back the week after that. Hope you can join us then. I'm going to end it just by saying thank you very much to my co-host, Mark Westgaard, to Tammy Lister, and to Tim Nash. We will see you again soon on another episode of This Week in WordPress.